Mr. Ross Tucker joins us. Hey, Ross, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, although this is my first time not actually with my family on Thanksgiving since I was a player.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in Detroit. I'm on the call for Westwood One for the Lions and the Eagles, so I'm quote-unquote working, although I've still yet to call anything I do working or a job.
You know, I can't say the same here. But listen, I appreciate you doing this, and I wanted to get right to it. You're in Detroit for Philadelphia. We sit here and talk about which one we're going to take, who we're going to bet, what's the deal. This may be the hardest game, not just a handicap, if you're going to put some money on it, or if you like to play those games. But, you know, these are two teams that are going terribly during the year. Detroit a little better as of late. Philadelphia, all kinds of rumors of Chip Kelly losing the team this morning. They got pounded by the Bucks last week. That is at 12:30, and it is your game. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to lean Detroit right now, don't you? I mean, you look at the way they played the last couple weeks. You know, they went to Lambeau. They beat the Packers. Then they beat the Raiders. And, guys, both those teams have pretty prolific offenses, and they did nothing against the Lions. I mean, ever since, I've been joking, but ever since Martha Ford took over as defensive coordinator, the defense has been locked down. She, of course, is the 90-plus-year-old owner who fired the team president, fired the GM. And just talking with some of the Lions players, they've changed up what they're doing schematically a little bit. They're playing a little bit more man-to-man coverage, and it's really working for them. I mean, they wouldn't even have given up a touchdown to the Raiders last week if it wasn't for a bad holding call. They are playing lights out defensively. They got some momentum going. Whereas the Eagles, I mean, the last six or seven quarters have been absolutely brutal. They were beating the Dolphins 16-3 a couple weeks ago. I was at that game. I thought that game was over. I thought the Eagles were going to run away with it. They ended up losing a close one there. Critical errors by Mark Sanchez. He had a couple more picks last week. The defense totally fell apart. I think you're a gambling man if you place a bet on the Eagles. Let's put it that way.
Chip Kelly, not many people in the world, period, think that he's going to make it past this season. Any chance we're going to see him fired before the end of the season?
No, I don't think that would happen. And, in fact, I'm not even sure that the Eagles want to fire him after the year. If you look, he has given this team two consecutive scoring records the last 2 years. I mean, he broke the franchise scoring record in 2013 and then broke it again last year. They have 25 more explosive plays than any other team in the NFL since Chip Kelly's been there. I think what they want to do is they want to fire Chip Kelly, the GM. I think they're okay with Chip Kelly, the coach. I think the discussion would revolve around bringing in a more experienced general manager who might not make some of the moves that Chip Kelly's made the last couple of years with Shady McCoy and Sam Bradford, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with that, though, is if you're Chip Kelly and there's a bunch of plum college jobs out there, you know, USC probably being number one, do you really want to go back to not having all the power when you've had all the power? You know, I mean, that's not easy. I've never had that opportunity, but I can imagine, fellas, if I had all the power, I wouldn't really be all that eager to go back to having somebody else be my boss.
You know, and he just bought a house in Philadelphia, too, which I found very interesting. But I think people read too much into those things. Those are life things, and sometimes you do things in life, and work takes you elsewhere. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, too, a very interesting game, just because of the line. It's too bad Vegas makes us question ourselves. 4:30, you got the Panthers, you got the Cowboys. Carolina by 1.5, which I think is interesting. Is there something going on that we don't know? Is Dallas that much better with Tony Romo? They'd question the 10-0 Panthers.
Well, I think it started with the Cowboys actually being favored by a point or a point and a half. So that tells you how much the line has moved. And I think the reasoning for that is that this is a great spot for the Cowboys. I mean, Carolina's 10-0. But does anybody look at them and think that they're an unbeatable 16-0 team? I would submit to you, probably not. It's a short week for Carolina. They're playing on the road. Romo does well on Thanksgiving, very well. And they won last week. Cowboys have some momentum. They're playing better. I just think the folks out in Vegas just think it's a great spot for the Cowboys today. But I believe in spot. I believe it is that the Panthers are primed for an upset, but I don't feel good enough about it to put it on on the Cowboys. I would have hoped that I had gotten something down on the Panthers when they were getting a point or a point and a half.
Ross, real quick, you're an old lineman, Greg Hardy, a D-line guy. Greg Hardy has been maybe the worst story in the NFL this season, the worst individual. The stories are horrific. Let's say that that Carolina says, "Hey, Ross, need you to line up against Greg just today, one time only," and you know what you know. What would you do?
Well, first and foremost, if I'm being honest, I would make sure that I execute my assignment, whatever that is, so that I keep my job and my coaches are happy with me, whatever.
Yeah.
If the opportunity arises, as it sometimes does, where you're freed up in pass protection, or you have an opportunity to get a shot on a guy, I would have anyway. I mean, even if it was the nicest guy in the world and I liked him, I would take a shot at him. But if it was Hardy, I think I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't try to put a little extra in that, just because of the type of person he is.
The late game has the Packers hosting the Bears, and we saw Green Bay manhandle the Vikings and got to Teddy Bridgewater six times. Are you buying the Packers being an elite team again in the NFC, or do they still have a lot of warts?
Well, I think they still have some work, but it certainly felt like they got their mojo back on Sunday in Minnesota. I mean, their defense was lights out. They got Eddie Lacy in the running game going. If they get the running game going, then they're as good as any team in the NFL. We'll see tonight whether or not they're able to sustain that or if it was just a one-game aberration. My guess is they're talented enough that it'll be sustainable for the rest of the year.
They're going to honor Brett Favre at that game tonight. How do you see his legacy? Greatest ever? Where does he rank in that whole argument?
Well, I think when I think of Brett Favre, I just think of toughness. I mean, I think of the amount of games he played in a row, which is just insane in my mind that he was able to play that many games in a row. That's his legacy to me. And also, the fact that he kind of finagled his way to go to Minnesota, to the Packers arch rival. If you really remember and you go back to that, the play-by-play, so to speak, of how that thing played out in the second year after he left the Packers, and I think I'll always think of that. I mean, I'll think of some of the tremendous plays he made, the passion he used, but mainly toughness, and then how his career ended. Whether that's right or wrong, that's what I'll think of.